Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Morning, everyone. Now, serial killers are often enabled by what could be described as a lack of interest from the police in the victims. Well, Sophie Wise joins me now to talk about a recent BBC show called Four Lives, which tried to redress the balance and expose some of the reasons why a bungling killer was allowed to continue with his crime. Sophie, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Let's talk about Stephen Port.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty grim one now this morning.
Oh, God. Now, you need to keep it as radio friendly as you possibly can, because it is pretty grim.
Yeah, yeah. No, his crimes were pretty savage. And I'm going to skim the surface of a lot of this and direct everyone to Four Lives that's just aired on BBC One. It's a four-part series kind of chronicling the crimes of Stephen Port. And for anyone with horrendous bloodlust, go straight over there, lads. It's all there in all its grim, gory
BBC,
detail.
It's all there.
But you know what, actually? I didn't find Four Lives, the series, like really salacious in any way. I actually found it harrowing. Like, it's so sad because it's really focused on the victims and their families, and it's really focused on their families' fight for justice. So basically, Stephen Port murdered four young gay men in Barking, in England, between 2014 and 2015.
This is quite recent. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And it's some of it's still kind of coming to pass in terms of trying to investigate the police investigation and kind of, I suppose, like, find out where this huge miscarriage of justice went wrong and went awry. Because I suppose a lot of the families feel that if the first crime had been adequately investigated, the like three young men didn't have to die after that. So it's really, really sad. So rather than just being kind of like grim and violent, yeah. Do you know what I mean? But also, Stephen Merchant plays Stephen Port, and like he's obviously really well known for comedy, and he's just so sinister in this. Like, you know, when like a really like beloved actor plays against type, like Robin Williams twice played terrifying murderers in two different films. I don't know if anyone remembers 1 Hour Photo was just Robin Williams at his scariest.
Wow.
And I think that's really effective when you see these lads then kind of come over to the other side.
It's a bit like when Steve Carell did it in The Foxcatcher.
Exactly. So freaky, like.
It is freaky.
It's just not what you expect from him.
No, no. Yeah, so he's brilliant. So Stephen Merchant plays Stephen Port in this. So he does a really good job.
He does a really good job. And basically each episode focuses on each victim. And like I said, really gets to know their families. And so the first victim is a young guy called Anthony Woolgate. And he was just like a really talented, really bright guy. He was studying fashion. He was really close to his mom, and he was really close to his family. Just like, just a loving guy, you know. And he did sometimes do a bit of work on the side for a bit of cash as an escort. And it was on one of these kind of sites that he sort of did this through that Stephen Port found him and pretended to be kind of eliciting his services. And like, you know, park what you might think about that. Like, you know, that's just a reality for a lot of people, a lot of young people. And so he met with Stephen Port to do this, like, you know, transaction. And Stephen Port basically, you know, drugged him, attacked him, and ultimately murdered him. And then he lived in this kind of flat in this like apartment building in Barking. And he basically just took Anthony Woolgate's body and just dragged him out to outside the front of the building and just left him propped up against a wall, just down on the ground. And then he rang an ambulance or rang emergency services, and you know, he didn't disclose his identity initially, and he basically just kind of said, there's a guy out front, you know. He was used his own mobile phone, and he just said there was a young boy who was collapsed or had had a seizure or was drunk. So he was already trying to kind of peddle this story that the guy had overdosed perhaps himself. And he was found in the morning by police. He was pronounced dead. And in the course of that investigation, like, there just seemed to be a lot of lapses. In later inquests, they found that there was evidence from under Anthony's arms that he'd been dragged, but that hadn't been, like, considered or taken seriously. And I think, you see, this, as soon as police started looking into Anthony's personal life, they started to file him under somehow a quote-unquote lesser victim because of his, like, what they saw as lifestyle, or, you know, so it's kind of like from the off, the sort of like the biases and prejudices, like, that's so many of us carry.
Yeah,
but it did seem to really colour how the police dealt with it, and they really just filed it under kind of a misadventure on the part of Anthony. Although Stephen Port was identified through in that investigation as having slightly obstructed things a little bit. Like, he was basically sentenced to 8 months because they said that he perverted the course of justice. But all that happened was he was sentenced to 8 months, he was released, and he just got an electronic tag around his ankle. But, like, there was no sense that they believed him to be actually, like,
involved.
Yeah. And so then, basically, in the next year, between August 2014 and September 2015, he went on to murder three more men. And, like, as I said, each episode in the series kind of moves between the victims. So the next victim was Gabrielle Kovari, who had moved from Slovakia. And he'd met a man and was, like, kind of renting a room from this really lovely guy who ended up being really instrumental in kind of getting to justice for Gabrielle. So basically, Gabrielle became friends with this nice guy. He was kind of his landlord. And then Gabrielle moved on. And it was his landlord who kind of raised the alarm that he hadn't heard from Gabrielle. And, you know, he was very dogged with police, saying, like, there's something wrong here. Ultimately, Gabrielle was found dead. A very similar setup to Anthony Walgate, but he was found in the graveyard of a church in Barking, and they basically immediately decided it was another overdose. The drug they'd found in his system was GHB, which is kind of, I suppose, like, synonymous with gay men, the kind of clubbing scene and stuff, or what, that's what the police kind of believed. And would you believe, right, his body, poor Gabrielle, he's only 22. Like, these men are really more like boys. Like, they're so young and just starting out on their lives. And he was found by a woman walking her dog, right? And obviously she raised the alarm. The police wrote it off pretty much. And then the next victim was found by the same woman.
Oh my God.
I know. Walking her dog again. Like, through the graveyard. I just feel like after that first one, you might vary your route, but sure.
How did the
God
police
love her, like, it was only, you know.
But how do they fail to link the cases? How, the level of incompetence. I mean, I'm sure this area isn't, I mean, Barking, is that where you said this all, where did you say this all happened?
In Barking, yeah.
It's all happened in the same area over a very short period of time. They all have the same kind of profile. How stupid.
I know. See, putting it down to accident and, like, I said, just kind of, I suppose, driven again by this kind of, like, false narrative they have about these young gay men being living kind of quote unquote unsafe lifestyles or something like that. Like, there was definitely like Pink News, the website, you know, had kind of, like, put forward already an argument that these deaths were linked. So had an independent advisory group that actually are a part of the Met, and they are an LGBT group, and they believe there was a serial murder at large as well. But, like, you know, time and again, like, crucial witnesses weren't questioned. For example, Stephen Port had a neighbour that he was quite friendly with. And, like, this friendship is, like, really creepy in the series. And the neighbour, you know, had seen Port with, like, large containers of white powder and bottles of clear liquid. And, you know, he kind of had received strange text messages from Port. He knew that Port knew Gabrielle. So it was falling into place for a lot of the people around the
but
victims,
but forward,
the police
yeah.
weren't really listening.
But can I ask you, Port appeared On Celebrity MasterChef.
This is bizarre.
How did that happen? And like, when did that happen?
It happened like around the time that he was, carrying out these crimes.
Wow.
So basically it was Celebrity MasterChef, and it was a guy from a boy band and a woman who plays a role in EastEnders were the celebrities taking part in the show. And they had been kind of dispatched to go and see if they could stand the stress of a real working kitchen, right? And Stephen Port was a chef and he worked in a bus station restaurant. I mean, was there ever a grimmer phrase? And that's where Stephen Port worked for 13 years. And so basically, they landed these celebs into the bus station restaurant kitchen. And there is literally stills from MasterChef where you can see Stephen Port like grinning in the background. I mean, obviously, I went and watched.
Of course you did.
And that, it's just so creepy. I mean, that has happened before. Like, there was a very famous murderer in America who was actually featured on a dating show as one of the prospective dates. So it's happened.
I hope that researcher is fired. who put them on. But listen to me. I mean, you mentioned there Pink News, the LGBTQ news sources, they helped uncover what happened. So when did they kind of realise we have a serial killer? Was it the families that was it these public? So when did all that happen? After the fourth person died?
Yeah. So like the third victim was found with what looked to be a note suggesting that he had taken his own life.
Yeah.
And the note was pure bonkers, like just the wording of it and everything, very strange. And in the note, the victim basically seemed to be saying that he was responsible for the murder of one of the other victims of Stephen Port, if you know what I mean. So it's kind of convoluted, but basically Stephen Port definitely wrote this note, planted it on his victim, and decided, I'm going to try and pin one of my other crimes on this lad. And so, you know, the family of that third victim, you know, were given his note and they were like, there's no way he ever did this. And this note doesn't, like, the police said, you know, do you think that he wrote this note? And the parents said very specifically, can't be positive. Like, no. And police kind of filed it under that was confirmation from his parents. So it was maddening stuff because the families were fighting to be heard. And what ended up kind of happening was that they had inquests where like an independent reviewed all the police's documentation and evidence and basically, you know, ruled that you couldn't completely rule out, you know, a third party involvement. So it was a slow process.
Harrowing, you said at the top of this, you said it was harrowing to watch and
totally
more
harrowing
than grotesque
to watch.
And as awful as it is.
Yeah.
What is the situation with Port? He's in jail now. What's been done to stop this from happening again?
Well, they are doing an inquiry into the inquiry. They are probing into police failings, but I know that they're actually delaying kind of announcing like kind of resolution until after a further inquest into all four deaths is completed. So it's actually kind of in process still. But like we know that they very specifically have investigated individuals working on the case. They, I think, are trying to definitely like hold people individually accountable for how they conduct themselves in these kind of investigations, for sure.
Okay, Sophie White, thanks for coming in and telling us about Four Lives on BBC. Worth a watch. Go and check it out. And fair play to the families and their allies who got justice for those poor victims. We'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.